This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to the Steve Carino Show on placetobenation.com. Now, here's your host, the king of old school, Steve Carino.
Welcome to another edition of Steve Carino Show. I am your host, Steve Carino. Actually, co-host, but we'll get into that in just a moment. Hey, the Steve Carino Show is brought to you every week free of charge through the Place to Be Nation. But if you want to contribute, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/Steve Carino and get one of the four Carino-inspired t-shirts. If you listen every week, you should know by now there's a Steve Carino shirt, a Mr. Wrestling 3 shirt, a PWS shirt, and an American Tiger shirt up there. We are only two shirts away from putting up more shirts. Take $20 out of your pocket, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/Steve Carino, order some shit, and then we're going to get some more stuff on there. Thanks. Hey, you like to order from highspots.com? Of course you do. They have everything from wrestling rings to wrestling gear, belts to DVDs, and DVDs hosted by me, the king of old school, Steve Carino. Click on that High Spots link on worldofcarino.com. You buy, kick a couple dollars back this way, and I'm going to need it. On tonight's show, it's a very special episode, and I know I say that every week, because it's Extreme Odd Couple podcast reunion with my buddy Rob Dimension. Hello, Rob.
I'm not sure if I want to do this tonight, and let me explain why.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I text you on, what was it, Saturday, on Friday, and I'm like, hey, man, hope you have a great show for your PWF show, and what do you respond back?
I think I wrote, shut up.
Yeah, shut up. It was rude. Who does that?
I got to talk to you about all that, too.
And then I don't hear from you all day until I text you. I'm like, is it safe? And I'm like, hey, man, how was the show? And you finally start responding back to me. What a dick. Who does that to a friend?
Dude, it's stressful to run a show.
Yeah, but it was like 8:30 in the morning, and I just was wishing you well.
Well, I was already having problems. I was upset.
And so ignorant.
The show that Rob Dimension's talking about is the PWF show that we had last Friday night from the PWF Arena, the Hubert Bingo Hall in Hubert, North Carolina. And now, Rob, and let's bring in Dan. Dan, how you doing tonight?
Oh, good, Steve. How are things?
Oh, things are fucking great, man. Before we get into the PWF stuff, we want to apologize. Kevin Steen couldn't be on our show this week. He was in some traffic, and yes, we do tape this at 10 o'clock at night on a Tuesday. It's a long story, and we'll get into it next week, as we will have Kevin Steen on the show, but I brought in Rob Dimension at the last minute, which was pretty cool. Now, Rob, I got to tell you all about this. So, you know, this is the third show that we've run in Hubert since we started running shows again. And the Rock and Roll Express are in, and you know, they're sponsored, so it's really not costing anything but a night of a hotel. So how hard could that be, right?
Well, it is wrestling.
Right. So first off, there's always a guy that's like, I know somebody that can get you a good rate on the beach. Right. It's the summertime. I knew this was bullshit right away. So Ricky Morton calls me last week and says, hey, man, I'd like to come in early, go to the beach with my wife and kids. Not all of them, but just two of them. And, you know, I'll come in Thursday. I'll pay for Thursday if you could, you know, take care of Friday. I said, don't worry, man. I got you hooked up. So I go to the hotel, which happens to be like 2 miles from my house. And I said, hey, I need to change Ricky Morton's reservation. The guy goes, Ricky Morton staying here? I go, ah, shit. So at this point, Robert Gibson calls and says, hey, I'm going to ride with Ricky. I go, oh, okay, so you need Thursday, right? I go, hey, man, our deal's only for Friday, though, so you're going to have to pay as soon as you get there. Okay, cool. So I hook him up at this travel lodge in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Everything's going good. Of course, but like when I make the reservation, I make it with the biggest idiot in the entire world. Like he's looking at the wrestling poster. I'm like, hey, man, do you need information? Do you need my credit card to hold the rooms? Hey, are you awake? And he's just like, uh-huh. I'm like, oh, great. Forrest Gump's working the fucking desk at the travel lodge. So
you know, Thursday morning comes and the lady from the Travelodge calls and says, hey, the rooms aren't paid for. I said, I'll be down to pay for the Friday room. I go, but they're paying for the Thursday room. He's like, she's like, oh, that, you know, that's, I don't know if that's true. I said, all right. So I get down there and she goes, yeah, the other guy checked in at 4 a.m. this morning, so it's three nights. I go, excuse me? I go, well, then he's going to owe you for two nights. So she's like, okay. I said, look, I'll guarantee my everything with my card, and then, you know, when he gets up and he'll handle it with you. Oh, okay. So, like, I call Ricky Morton real quick. I'm like, hey, man, I'm really pissed off right now. I think Robert Gibson's trying to work me. And he goes, oh, fucking Robert, I'll call him right now. So Robert calls me and he's trying to work me. And I said, Robert, you're going to have to go there and get this all taken care of. I go, or I'll just take it out of your pay. And he's just like, oh, man, I'll get it all done. So the show happens and, like, there's always something. You know how it is.
Absolutely.
So we set up the ring the night before, which was cool because it gave me one less thing to worry about. And
that really is a convenience, though. Not even kidding. To set up things the night before, a huge convenience.
Oh, so convenient. And the guy, a little shout out to David Washington. I know he doesn't listen, but man, he's the guy that runs the building is so cool. Like, you know, I just had a bullshit and I said, hey, man, what? You know, can we throw up a banner that says PWF Arena? He's like, hell, do whatever you want, man. He's like, I said, what about the marquee? You know, what do we do with that? He goes, hey, the letters are in the building. You know, just go in and, you know, put up whatever you need.
Wow.
Holy shit, this guy's awesome. And, you know, so everything's going good. The show's going good. So, you know, American Tiger is who Dan keeps speculating is somebody closer to me than he really is. And, you know, he's leaving for college, right? So, you know, we're trying to write him out for two shows, and we want to get him as much sympathy as possible. So he's going to lose the tag titles to First Generation and then come back with the Rock and Roll Express in a six-man and lose again, like, right? Total – sympathy, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Ricky Morton had none of that. Ricky Morton's like, hey, man, you got to think of, you know, the crowd and everything. Like, Ricky Morton, I'm booking this show. Like, it's literally what I said. And, you know, but he, of course, won out. And but the show ran great, man. A lot of people will be up on ProWrestlingPWF.com within the next day or two. And I hope people like it. We had more people than we ever had, and we're getting to the point where we're running out of seats.
I mean, I'm really happy for you. Like, no kidding. Like, I'm not bullshitting. I'm serious. I'm very, very, very happy for you because I know that how much you really do love running shows. I mean, you know, you like being involved. You like the entertainment factor. You enjoy all that. So I'm excited for you, you know? I mean, I think it's awesome. I'm proud of you for what you're doing. It's good stuff.
Oh yeah, and you know what? Like, I miss you being there. I want you to, you know, I want you to be there one of these times.
I would love to. I know that there's a. I've created quite a stir amongst your locker room. I apologize for that.
You have, and I haven't smartened anybody up yet.
It's pretty funny. Yes. The one guy is so mad, like so mad.
Bobby Wolford?
Yes,
he's not. Dude, when you watch the show on Friday, or you watch the show on the website, holy shit, there was almost a riot.
Really?
Yeah. He had announced, and I don't want to give a spoiler to everybody that'll be running to watch it in a million hits. He was announcing that he was coming back, right? And he was going to be back on the next show. And Knights to Eddie Brown and his boys, The Law, came out and beat him down again, you know, breaking his leg again, so he won't be out until January. And some lady almost hit the ring, like an old lady. Like, it was amazing. She was one or two N-bombs away from making this, like, 1980 Memphis.
You can never tell with wrestling fans, dude, what they're going to do. Unpredictable.
It was totally unpredictable, but I think you'll like it. It's some good shit going on down there. Our next show is August 22nd, and you know, CW Anderson's been freaking absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And, yeah, but dealing with the Rock and Roll Express is tough. Like, I'm so, like, not used to dealing with names when we run shows because of, you know, we use a lot of local guys. Now, with all our PWF shows that we ran in Pennsylvania, who was the hardest name to deal with in your mind?
The hardest guy to deal with? Maybe I want to say Hamrick, but I don't know how true Chris Hamrick would be, but he really enjoyed I think giving me a hard time, giving you a hard time, and he really, as valuable as he was, I wouldn't say he was difficult. I just say
he was a pain in the ass.
Okay, he was a pain in the ass.
I thought he was a pain in the ass.
But I still, I mean, he really did a great job.
He did. And I think that's the only reason we kept him around.
I don't think that really anybody really stressed me out, though.
New Jack.
Well, New Jack was tough, and to be honest with you, in the first couple shows, dealing with the back seats was tough, but it wasn't their fault. It was the building's fault. When the back seats collide was a show that we did, and the guy that was running the building was drunk and was there, and the back seats were fighting with a Christmas tree, and I was backstage fighting with Trent or Johnny for the tree. And then they hit the chandelier, and the guy went like crazy, and he wanted to fight me. It was it was one of the more interesting shows.
Well, in the like 8 months that we ran that building, they had changed like management 3 times.
Yeah.
So like there was always something. I couldn't believe we didn't get kicked out after Jack Victory threw somebody in the pool.
That was show 2.
Yeah. Was it show 2? Holy shit.
Yep. I'm pretty sure Brian Regal would know better than I would, but I'm almost positive it's show 2.
Yeah, the hashtag MLB outsider Brian Regal, he hasn't been giving me any pointers on what's going on. But man, the crowd right now, we're taping this on Tuesday. The crowd is giving Derek Jeter one hell of a standing ovation as he's leaving the game.
Ugh. Yeah, not even watching that. I was on the road all day today, and I just got home a little bit ago, and I totally forgot it was even on, to be honest.
It was good. Elsa sang the Star Spangled Banner, and Elsa from Frozen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was great. And what was funny was Beck could hear her voice, and he's looking at the TV, but like his eyes are wide open, and he's just like looking for, like, you could tell he was like looking for Elsa.
She's older, right? She's an older lady?
I'd say she's like late 30s. Dan, what would you say?
I didn't think she was late 30s.
Early 30s?
Early to mid?
She has big horse mouth.
I just saw that movie a couple days ago.
Greatest movie ever, right?
It was pretty fun. I wouldn't say the greatest movie ever. Greatest movie ever is a little extreme, but it was pretty fun.
We're kind of a "this is the greatest movie ever" kind of podcast, so it's a little awkward.
Well, I don't know if it was the greatest movie ever. Was it good? It was good. I don't know.
What do you think is better?
Oh, dude, I mean, there's a million movies that are better. Like, even Disney-wise, I like Monsters, Inc. a lot.
Yo, it's not better than Frozen.
It's pretty good.
It is pretty good, but so is Beauty and the Beast, but it's not Frozen.
I don't know. I just read a fact about Frozen the other day that the soundtrack was the only album this year to sell more than a million copies. That's pretty incredible.
It is incredible.
Considering that you have like Lady Gaga out there and Katy Perry and Justin Bieber and all these people that are supposedly selling tons and tons and tons of records, but apparently not, even though they're CDs or whatever, you know, iTunes things. But I think it's also the highest grossing animated film, I think, of all time. It's pretty incredible. And it's funny, we went to the Hallmark store, so keep an eye out. Supposedly there is an Olaf ornament coming out because they just put their ornaments out Saturday for Christmas this year. And so they have a bunch of different ones, and we were in New York today, and we stopped in the Hallmark store and checked it out, but it wasn't out yet, the Olaf one. Just saying, if anybody cares.
Steve, by the way, I was way, way, way off on that. Elsa, or the actress who plays her, is actually 43 years old.
Yeah? In your face.
43. She actually got a nomination for a Tony in 1996 for her role in Rent.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Steve, just so that you know, Ricky Morton does not hate me. He slapped my hand in 1986 at the Philadelphia Civic Center when I said, hey, good job. He said, thanks.
I wrestled him on Saturday with no knee pads on, and I found it very freeing.
You were almost like free balling.
You know, and I think this weekend when I wrestle when I wrestle Kevin Steen in Detroit, which will be Saturday, I think I'm not going to wear knee pads.
This will be the week you break your kneecap.
Yeah, I hope this is the week you break your fucking face.
Whoa, guy, calm down.
Jesus Christ,
Jesus,
man.
You are really on edge. You got to calm down.
Well, you're a real guy, you know. Like, I almost not miss you all the time.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan, I got to ask you. You went to Fenway Park this weekend, and I see that you were part of a baseball rarity, because I got a baseball story that I think you and Rob are going to enjoy here.
Okay, yeah, as I talked about last week, my father and I went to, it's now kind of becoming an annual thing, we go to the Futures at Fenway, where the Red Sox minor league teams, they pick one each year, will play one of their regular season games at Fenway Park, and this year it was the New York Penn League short season Lowell Spinners that got the honor this year. So we went to the game, and before the game, we went to the concession stand, and my father's a big Guinness fan. He loves his Guinness, and, you know, his last name's McGinn. Of course he likes Guinness, right?
Nice.
Right.
You like Guinness, Dan?
No.
You know, it kind of was one of those things where my father wouldn't let me have things like Coors Light in the house or Miller Light. So he raised me on a lot of stuff like, you know, Smithwick and Guinness. And he found this thing in Ireland called Beamish, which is also quite good. But I digress. So, you know, we're going to go to the concession stand. He goes, no, I need to go to the Guinness stand. And I go, okay, that's fine. So, you know, I'm going and looking for other food. And I come back, and he has a Guinness in his hand, but it looks a little bit weird. I go, Dad, what do you got there? And he goes, oh, they put vanilla ice cream in my Guinness. And I'm like, oh, really? He goes, you want to try one? And I was like, no. And then he pulled the, well, I'll pay for it. I'm like, okay, I'll try it. And it wasn't that bad. You know, I probably have never drank a Guinness as fast as I did when you put a whole scoop of vanilla ice cream inside of it.
Is it good?
It's not bad, like I said. It's, you know, you got the bitter of the beer, but then you also have the sweet of the, you know, you think it's head, but it's actually ice cream. It was quite tasty. But that wasn't even the rarity that I was referring to.
Oh, I'm still trying to...
Yeah, like, is that common? Is that something, like, that people do?
I had never seen it until I was at this game. They called it the Guinness Float or something like that. And you know, in typical ballpark fashion, it costs, like, $11.50. But, you know, it was worth it. I guess it was worth it for the novelty of being able to say, yeah, I had ice cream in my Guinness the other day. I don't know. It was pretty surreal.
And you didn't pay for it.
And I didn't pay for it, correct. But so this game was 1-0 in its short season. It wasn't a lot of offense to speak of at all. And in the ninth inning, Lowell had the lead, and they kept this middle reliever in. He was already over 30 pitches, and he started to walk the ballpark. And he got squeezed on a couple pitches, and he gave up the tying run on a bases-loaded walk. And then the go-ahead run was on a hit batter. And then, you know, he leaves the game, and they bring in this other pitcher. And I'm not thinking about much of anything at this point. We're not really invested in either team. We're just out there, the two of us, having a good time, you know.
Drinking Guinness with your your ice cream.
Drinking Guinness and ice cream, right. And my dad turns to me, and he goes, this guy has nothing. And you're talking about the reliever coming in. And I go, oh, well, but, you know, Dad, I mean, geez, he's only like a 19-year-old kid. You lay off the guy. And he goes, no, I don't think he's thrown a strike in any of his warm-up tosses. And I go, oh, okay, well, you know, to each his own. He's learning. Next thing you know, he's stepping off the mound, and the manager's talking to the umpire, and he He takes him out of the game. He has not thrown a pitch yet. He's just been doing warm-up tosses. So then he calls for, I guess he hurt or he had dead arm or something. He just was not able to pitch. So they took him out immediately. So I've never seen a pitcher get taken out of a game before they could even throw an actual pitch in the game. He was announced and everything, and now they brought in another pitcher who had all the time in the world because it was an injury. It was wild. I was like, how bad could this guy be if he doesn't even get a chance to throw the ball to an actual batter before he gets taken out of the game?
I think that happened a couple weeks ago too. I'm trying to think what team it was. Yeah.
I mean, it's like anything when you're an athlete, you're not going to be on all the time. And if they're looking for a certain type of pitcher based on a lineup, is it possible? Sure, I guess it's possible, but it is weird. I don't think it's something you see very often at all.
Yeah, and my dad spotted it from, like, you know, 15 rows away. He's like, this guy's got nothing. And you know, sure enough, he literally did not have anything. He didn't even get, you know, a chance to throw to the batter and He was out of there. He hit the showers. I don't even know if he broke a sweat doing those warm-up tosses.
I've been to a couple games where a couple guys where a guy would come in and he'd get smashed for, like, you know, six hits, like bang, 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 and then they'd take him out. He wouldn't even get an out or anything. But, I mean, I've never seen anybody get yanked before they even start. That's crazy.
Yeah, Lowell ended up losing, and they ended up losing. It was a 1-0 game throughout the entire contest, and then in the ninth inning, it was Mahoning Valley. They were the affiliate of the Cleveland Indians. They scored 6 times in the top of the ninth inning. It ended up being a 6-1 game, and the only other highlight of this game besides Field of Dreams was played on the big screen after the game.
Greatest movie ever, right?
Yeah.
Except for wait a second. Hold on a second.
We got two Frozen movies.
The greatest live action movie, I'll say that then.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't Jesus me, asshole.
Yeah. The only other highlight, I suppose, if we wanted to go there, was the Shane Victorino. Formerly of your Phillies and my Red Sox, was leading off for Lowell. He's been on this extended rehab stint, and I heard a stat that since he's gone down to the minors for rehab, he has 1 hit in like 30 at bats or something like that. It wasn't a great showing for the
flying Hawaiian. he's definitely done. I'm still blown away by the ice cream and the Guinness. Yeah, because I like ice cream and I like beer, but I wouldn't mix the two. But let me tell you about my baseball experience. Now, as you know, my little boy, Beckham, and I love to go to baseball games. And we have the Morehead City Marlins that play about 30 minutes away. And we've gone to – I think this was our 5th game. And this one happened to be the Coastal Plains League All-Star game. And – usually they draw about 200 to 300 people a night at these games, and it's low class A, like independent league. Well, for the All-Star game, there was a lot of people there. I would say it was somewhere near 1,000. It was pretty packed. So, you know, me and Beck are walking around, and you know, it's very localized. But with the All-Star game being there, and everybody in for the, you know, vacation and stuff like that, it was a lot of people. Like, we see Beck's doctor there all the time, and, you know, people that come to PWS shows are there, and it's fun. So we're on the first base side, past the dugout, and we're up against the fence, and Beck loves to, like, you know, he's 7.5 months old, but he can high-five people, like, and the players all, like, touch his hand and stuff like that. It's really cool. So, and he's in my pouch. Like, imagine, like, the Hangover's Carlos. Like, I always have him in my pouch when we're at a game, you know, so that he can, you know, it's just very convenient. And here we are. Then all of a sudden we're sitting there and there's a pop fly, like it's going foul. And I see it in, you know, as a former baseball player myself, my instinct is to get under this ball, and it's hit a mile high. And as it's come, I take a couple steps and I look to the left thinking, oh, there's going to be a couple kids here with gloves to catch this ball. I look and none of them are paying attention. I said, oh shit. And then I realize, oh my God, I got the kid with me. And like, I start taking like a couple steps to my right. And of course the ball starts tailing towards me. Right. So all of a sudden I go, oh shit, this thing's going to hit me. And, but it's going to hit the baby too. Right. So I literally like put up my arm like in front of him and it pops off my forearm and we catch a ball. First time ever that I caught a foul ball.
That's awesome. Wow.
I have been going to games since 1978. 78. That's older than my wife.
It's older than me.
True. True. The 70. So what's that? 36 years. 36 years. I have never caught a foul ball before. And tonight I did it, or last night I did it. It's pretty awesome. So I took, I have like a ball cover for my Greg Luzinski ball. I took that, put the Luzinski ball, you know, out in the world so the air can get it. And then I put the, and it even says like all star and you can probably see like part of my forearm from where it nailed it. Oh, it was pretty freaking awesome.
That's a sweet deal, Steve. And I'll tell you why. The only one time I came anywhere close to a foul ball, it landed in the seat in front of me. And I'm, you know, a guy in his, you know, late 20s, early 30s. And, you know, you don't get away with that. You can't keep that ball. You have to basically hand it off to the closest available kid. Otherwise, you're going to be called a jackass or a dick right in front of like everybody else. So I ended up giving it.
I would do it anyway.
I would totally keep that shit.
So I, you know, I had the ball in my hands for all of 3 seconds and then handed it off to my niece. You have a baby attached to your chest.
Yes.
There's like no way that anybody's going to be like, hey, man, why don't you give that ball to the kid? You have a kid attached to you. That's a sweet deal.
It was fun. It was definitely fun, man. I love baseball. Love it, you know. Hey, before we go on to break, I got to ask, where – because Rob needs to know. Where can we find the Steve Carino Show?
Well, you can find the Steve Carino Show in any of the following ways by visiting placetobenation.com. And, of course, clicking on that very nice Steve Carino Show banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. In addition, just by subscribing to the Place to Be podcast on iTunes, you'll automatically receive the latest and greatest episodes of the Steve Carino Show, including this one. You can also visit Stitcher.com and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast or download the Place to Be Nation podcast app by hitting up placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad devices. Be sure to also follow us on Twitter at Place to Be Nation and at Steve Carino Show, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/placetobenation. Finally, if you have questions or suggestions for our final segment, email us at stevecarinoshow@placetobenation.com, stevecarinoshow@gmail.com, and of course the Twitter at Steve Carino Show. Steve.
Oh, it's awesome. Rob, do you hear that?
I hear it. Sounds awesome.
Like a well-oiled machine. Hey, when we get back from the break, we're going to talk Battleground and the WWE Network. You're listening to a very special Extreme Odd Couple podcast reunion right here on the Steve Carino Show. I knew a lady who came from the news, hit by a dog with a rabbit tooth. She went to a grave just a little too soon. Flew a late night on the yellow moon. What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show. Each and every week, we'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, we'll be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
You ready, B? Let's go again.
Look for me, young B, cruising down the west side highway, doing what we like to do.
Hey, we're back on the Steve Carino Show with our very special guest, Rob Dimension of www.youvebeenrobfilms.com. He's got some upcoming movies coming out that we'll get into in just a little bit. But we're going to talk about the WWE. We're going to talk about Battleground this Sunday on the WWE Network. And we're going to talk about the WWE Network as a whole. And before we came back from the break, we almost got into a little heated discussion about everything that's been going on. And let's run down a little bit of what we can expect on Sunday. Now, Dan, do you got the card in front of you?
I do.
Okay. Let's start off and let's get some predictions. Rob, we do this every time.
Cool, man.
I will tell you that Dan was definitely wrong of the June PWF show predictions, probably because he didn't know any of them.
Yeah, I still believe in JoJo Dancer, though.
JoJo Dancer, new Crystal Coast Openweight Champion.
Yeah. We're kindred spirits, as I said a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I rode with him on Saturday. You sure are.
Yeah.
All right. Gentlemen, we have 7 matches signed, at least according to the Wikipedia page, and 1 pre-show match, which we could start with. And the Funkadactyls explode officially as Cameron takes on Naomi in the kickoff match.
Now, I'm a big Total Divas fan. As we've well documented, and so is Rob.
Big time.
Now, I like Naomi better as Trinity. I like to call her Trin.
Uh-huh.
We're like that. And I think she's phenomenal. She is entertaining. She's athletic. She's married to, you know, one of the Usos. I see her as total baby face. And I see her winning. Rob?
I actually agree. I feel... You can see that she is constantly working to improve. I don't see the same for Cameron. Sorry.
Yeah, and Cameron's got that awful boyfriend Vinny. It just makes me.
Now she did tag with Alicia Fox. If they were going to start doing some tag team stuff, especially when we are going to assume that Brie comes back, I do like Alicia Fox and Cameron as a tag team. I do like that.
I do too, but like I think you're basically moving her to another black person. You know what I mean? She's going from babyface black partner to heel black partner.
Alicia Fox has got a good gimmick right now. I'm a big fan.
She does. Scary.
It's different.
It reminds me of all of C.W. Anderson's ex-girlfriends.
I'm sure he'll love that.
No, I agree. I think Naomi's probably, I mean, you take a look at AJ and Paige. I think Naomi's probably the best of the workers out of the group. I mean, she does have quite a moveset. I was pretty impressed watching her almost on a weekly basis when I was recapping WWE Superstars for the website when I was first starting out. But I think that you could really do a good program with her in the Divas title picture. And Cameron really doesn't do much for me. She might be what kind of pigeonholed into that tag team role, I think.
I believe you're right. I really think like this Total Divas show has given us a different look of the girls and giving them maybe more of a chance than we would on a regular Monday night. You know, usually you used to look at it as filler and stuff like that. But it is, I think, like, the girls are working hard, and you can tell, and I really, even Big Boo Bella has been doing good. She's got a real good drop kick. So I'm looking forward to that match.
Let me tell you something about the Bella there, if we have a second. I went to a house show a couple weeks ago. In person, she is amazing looking. Not even kidding. Big Boo Bella? Nikki Bella.
Yeah, of course she is.
But on the show, I don't think there's something. Maybe it's her attitude that makes her a little ugly to me.
Really? But, I think she's because she's kind of like the slutty girlfriend.
But man, in person.
And maybe not you, but we've all had the slutty girlfriend before. And she, you know.
Yeah, I've only been with one girl, so, you know, it's hard to
tell. Yeah, can you believe that, Dan?
Wow.
It's not true.
Yeah, Rob's only ever slept with one girl before. You married her, too.
It's not the Muppet that's in his picture on Skype, is it?
No.
Poor Kim's got a life sentence.
She does.
Yeah.
All right, what's the next match?
Moving on. Next match, we have the real American, Jack Swagger, taking on the part-time Russian, part-time Bulgarian brute, Rusev.
Rob, you want to start with this one?
I'm going to take Swagger in this. Swagger, I am a I'm a big fan of Swagger. Now, I think that they've lost some steam with Rusev. I don't know why, but it just seems like it was, you know, when Swagger came out and he had some problems getting back over the border.
Yeah, so some Swagger.
I think that's where the steam was lost. I felt like, oh man, we're going to see this awesome, like, USA versus Russia match. I'm seeing, like, vintage Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Like, this is going to be amazing. I'm almost seeing, like, where is the battleship to slam Yokozuna? You know, like, Jack Swagger's the new Lex Luger, but you know, a better worker. I don't know. I think Vince is in a position where I don't know if I almost don't know what they can do with Rusev much more. And I think he wants to. This is the chance to push Swagger. If Swagger can keep his nose clean, this is a great opportunity.
See, I like Swagger because, you know, he seems like an okay guy to hang out with. I would probably hang out with him.
Probably would.
And but Rusev, you know, he's on the climb, man. There is definitely a Hulk Hogan appearance eventually. With Rusev, and I think it's going to take a Hulk Hogan type guy, aka John Cena, to take down Rusev. I don't think it's going to be a mid card guy. I'm seeing a great match because I think they had a great match with Big E at the last pay per view. But
right.
I'm going Rusev.
Okay, you might be right.
Now, do you like that Lana girl?
Do you think she's hot as
all the rest of the nerds do?
I think she's super hot, but I mean, sadly, in reality, I feel she's going to go further than he will.
Oh yeah, so you see the little body Donna's in her.
Yeah, a little bit. but I mean, I like Swagger, man. I hope that they do something with him. I'm. It's a shame that he's been the guy that hurt Ziggler. It's a shame he was the guy that hurt. You know, Wade Barrett. I don't think it's hurt him per se, but I don't know. I think I would love to see Hogan be the guy. You know, save that shit for WrestleMania. I'd be all about it.
Dan, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking because of the injury stuff and because that Swagger really wasn't doing a whole heck of a lot after the breakup of the Real Americans with Cesaro, you know, it would be kind of out of left field. They would have really had to sour on Rusev for me to see a situation where Swagger, who was really doing much of nothing, and he's really not doing a whole lot in this feud. It's really been Zeb carrying with the mic and the USA versus Russia stuff. So I think eventually Rusev goes down, but I don't think it's in this situation here, even though I'm getting kind of burned out by the I'm Russian and I'm invincible stuff. It's like, you know, sell a little bit, give me something, you know, can the Russian bleed once, you know, during this whole course, you know, but that's what they do with these heels. They just have them win a bunch of stuff until they decide, we're done with this, you know? So I don't think it's that time yet for Rusev.
I think it's Wrestling 101. Mm-hmm. All right, what do we got next?
Well, the only other match that doesn't have a title up for grabs, and it could be in jeopardy depending upon the health of Seth Rollins, is Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose, which could be a show stealer if both guys are able to go in this during the pay-per-view.
Now, what do you mean by go?
Well, I don't know. I think reports are he's going to be okay, but during the main event of Monday's Raw, Rollins kind of landed a bit awkwardly on his right leg, and it looked like he was favoring his knee a bit. And you could see like the medical staff running towards him up the aisle. You know, the camera didn't focus on him the rest of the match. So if he like did something serious to that leg and it forced them to cancel the match, then obviously that's a big hole in this card.
I think they reported today he's okay.
Oh, good.
See, I thought that was just the way to get him out for the finish. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because the glory shot at the end of the show is all four of them looking at each other. And Roman Reigns standing tall. So I just kind of thought, oh, wait, that's his way out. Mm. This one is a tough one, though. I am thinking that, you know, Rollins has the whatchamacallit. He's got the money in the bank thing. So I think he needs to win. But you know, how long are you going to have Ambrose, you know, lose for? So that one's going to be tough. I'm going DQ.
It's funny you say that. At the house show that I went to, they actually worked each other, and the result was. Seth Rollins gets a chair, starts hitting Ambrose, referee calls for the bell, that gets the five count, calls for the bell, DQ. Could I see that happening again? Their match was pretty good before the DQ. I could see that happening again. That way, neither guy necessarily loses steam. They can continue with the feud. I think it's good.
Dan?
I could see them like brawling into like the crowd and then the match just ends and no contest. I could definitely see a situation because they've been kind of playing the whole, you know, Rollins escapes by the skin of his teeth type of win. Like maybe he wins, not really with a handful of trunks, but something of that sort where there's a little bit, maybe like the legs on the rope for leverage, you know, to get a screwy victory. But I absolutely agree with Rob's point, though. It's like, you know, eventually, or maybe it was your point, I don't know. Dean Ambrose, you know, he loses to Randy Orton on television. You know, it's like this guy was huge. If you watch Money in the Bank, like him coming out got as big a pop as anybody during that huge night in Boston. So
especially when he came back out when he was hurt,
right? So
little spirit of 76.
This guy can't keep losing, and we've seen in the past the Money in the Bank guy just because he has the briefcase doesn't mean he's going to win every single match that he has. So it's tough. I'm kind of flip-flopping here, but I see this ending in a no contest.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Yeah. So we now have nothing but title matches, except actually I misspoke before. There is one other match that doesn't involve a title, and that's Bray Wyatt taking on Chris Jericho.
Now, To me, like, I don't know why, and like it bothers me, but I have no interest in this feud whatsoever. I don't know why.
I think it's because it just came out of left field. It really was
to, like that's why I would be in it.
It's to appease Jericho. You know, Jericho wanted to work Wyatt, so you know they brought him back. And I mean, you know, I'm not a huge Jericho guy. I'm just not. I'm sure
you're not.
And fans will shit on it. Sure. I'm just not. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I found myself bored with Bray Wyatt. They kept him with Cena just far too long. You know, and I think that he lost steam. I don't think he gained any momentum. I think with Jericho, a win over Jericho would, I think, help him. But from what I understand, a babyface turn is in the future. So at that point, who really knows what direction they're going to go? But I agree. I'm not really – it's not a match that it's a must-see, you know?
Yeah, it's not as much a must see as if it happened the day after WrestleMania. I think I'd be more into it. I think Bray Wyatt needs to win, you know, but I could see Jericho winning. I'm seeing a big night for the Wyatts. I think they're going 2-0.
Yeah, I kind of agree with somebody else on our network said that Jericho was just brought back to give Bray Wyatt a reason to have a win in a feud. You know, like Jericho's pretty unbreakable at this point. I mean, he lost to Fandango at WrestleMania, so it wouldn't shock me at all if this is a feud. I mean, they didn't necessarily, I mean, he got his licks in, but Bray Wyatt ended up losing the feud with Daniel Bryan. He had him in the flock, in the family, and then he lost them, whatever. And then, of course, he had that really long feud with Cena, and, of course, nobody can get over on Cena. So, hey, Jericho's a
bad. Don't talk bad about John
Cena. Yeah, let's go. John Cena's the man.
No, right. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, you know, hey, if anybody had a shot of winning a feud against John Cena, it was going to be Bray Wyatt. They certainly stretched it out long enough, but it didn't happen.
Cena would have lost no momentum if he would have lost.
Mm-hmm.
He would have lost nothing. Bray Wyatt would have only, you know, benefited from that. So I agree with you.
Mm. So yeah, I think Jericho loses this match. Maybe it does go to another pay-per-view, but I don't think that they brought back Jericho so that he could go on this run and starting with beating Bray Wyatt.
I think you're right. It'll be interesting. I'm excited for the match. I'm just not excited for the feud. And hopefully this gets me into it.
Hmm. All right, now I'll say this. Every other match from here on out has a title involved. We'll start with the Usos defending the tag team titles against the Wyatt family of Eric Rowan and Luke Harper in a 2 out of 3 falls tag team match.
I'm going to call it. I am going Wyatt family in 2 straight. Roberto?
I don't know about 2 straight, but I also agree with the Wyatt brothers there, the family there winning, because I just think that I don't think they need titles, but for some reason these guys have faced each other so many times, it's time to flip the belts.
Yeah, it's
neither team loses anything.
Huh?
Neither team loses anything. You know, the Usos don't need the belt.
I don't think it's the end either.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been treated to some great matches here, but I think the Wyatt's losing at Money in the Bank basically means that they'll do a title change here at Battleground, maybe set up a, you know, rubber match at SummerSlam, who knows, but it seems like the time has come for the Wyatt's to win something. And the Usos have had a great run. I mean, this has actually been a pretty lengthy title reign for them. So I think the Wyatts win here.
See, we're all going Wyatts.
Yep. Divas Championship match, AJ Lee, the champ, defends against Paige.
This one should be interesting, you know, because, the surprise with, you know, Paige winning the title on AJ and then AJ coming back and winning the title on Paige. It should be very interesting, but I see AJ retaining.
I actually agree with you about that too. I feel that we're going to see a change between fan favorite to heel in this match.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we're going to see Paige flip, and I feel that AJ is going to come out smelling like a rose, and she's going to be mad over. I think it's her time. I think that for her as a character, the crazy heel thing that she did for so long really worked, but I think now that she was gone for so long, I think that people want to root for her. I think it's time.
Yeah, you might be right, Dan.
Yeah, I think people have been wanting to root for AJ ever since she did that promo against the Total Divas. And even though she was supposed to be bad, I think people really liked what they were hearing out of AJ Lee. I think they were shocked when she lost the title. But now I've heard a lot of things about Paige would probably work better as a heel. And I guess we could find out. We could have one of those instances where they're both coming in like respecting one another and being all best friends, buddy, buddy. But when the match ends AJ will probably win, I think, and then maybe Paige will attack her afterwards. Like, it'll get really vicious. So to really put that over, but yeah, I think it's too soon. I mean, you know, they keep doing these quick title changes, but I think it's too soon to take the belt already off of AJ.
I agree.
So that brings us to the real fun part of the evening, and this was something that spawned a question that I had for you, Steve, prior to us hitting record. We have a 20-man battle royal for the vacant Intercontinental Championship as Bad News Barrett has to relinquish the title after getting injured at the hands of Jack Swagger. So for now the third time since WrestleMania, or including WrestleMania, we have a battle royal as a big featured match. We had a U.S. title battle royal to get it off of Ambrose. We had the Andre the Giant battle royal. And now we have this guy for the Intercontinental Championship. And the participants include Alberto Del Rio, Big E, Bo Dallas, Cesaro, Curtis Axel, Diego from the Los Matadores,
wow.
Dolph Ziggler, Fandango, Heath Slater, Kofi Kingston, Rob Van Dam, R-Truth, Ryback, Sheamus, Sin Cara, The Great Khali, The Miz, Titus O'Neil, Xavier Woods, and Zack Ryder.
Okay, see, I'm a believer, and we talked about this off the air, that too many battle royals. It's too much. You have the one for Royal Rumble, of course. That's the big one. And then we have the one for the WrestleMania, and then the one for the U.S. title. And, man, it's too much, too much. And I think now with the crews together, the U.S. title and Intercontinental title is, you know, it's too much. You know, I think you got to get rid of one, whether it be the Intercontinental. I definitely think it should be the United States title.
Yes.
Get rid of one. You know, you don't need it. You know, if you're going to do something new, do a, you know, WWE Network title or something fresh. The U.S. title is a old WCW title that they don't need anymore. And I fully believe that it's just sitting there. We saw how long, you know, it went dormant when Dean Ambrose had it, and he's an amazing, amazing worker. So, you know, I definitely think it's overdue to get rid of one of them.
Yeah, in a way, I agree, you know, or you know, have a unification, you know, so to speak, you know, and then the winner could pick the title that they want to keep or something of that sort. But, yeah, it does seem kind of, because they don't even really do a big deal. Like, I guess Sheamus has been defending the U.S. title a bit on Main Event, but it
does good matches.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. Like, it's not like an eye catcher or anything like that. It's not like, I don't know. I kind of agree. The network title or the television title, the internet championship, speaking of Zack Ryder, you know, something that kind of jazz it up a little bit. That's low card, but at least it gets you kind of excited to see some of these guys that you don't often see on the big shows, or certainly not in the main events. But yeah, it's a shame that they have to go this route. I think I'd much rather have seen a healthy Bad News Barrett, maybe take on Sheamus for that, you know, champion versus champion match here. But you know, we get this kind of gimmick battle royal, and I mean, you could go in a lot of different directions. I mean, Miz coming back with a kind of new character is might be an intriguing thing to give him some gold, give him the rub. I've heard a lot of talk of Bo Dallas possibly winning this thing, so I mean, it could be anybody really.
I hope it's Bo Dallas, but I just don't think. You have so many people in there that have no shot of winning. It was like putting Del Rio in the Money in the Bank match. Like, why? You knew he wasn't going to win.
Right. Hey, how about we give a who you think is going to win and your long shot?
Okay. Who I think is going to win? Cesaro.
That's
long shot, RVD.
I'm Cesaro, and my long shot is Damian Sandow.
Ooh.
Dude, ooh. He's been really – the fans are starting to dig his gimmicks. You know, he was like, you know, Bret Hart Dow last week or 2 weeks ago. I don't know. I would love to say Dolph Ziggler, but I think that ship has sailed. I think Sandow is the guy that could make it interesting. And, speaking of the Intercontinental, I didn't want to jump in when you guys were talking about it, but I miss when the titles meant something.
Mm.
I really, I remember Tito Santana holding the belt for so long, and, the belt actually helped make these guys household names, and now the belts are just there.
And they don't have to be, because you saw how important the WWE World Heavyweight title was at WrestleMania.
Sure.
So, man, I don't know.
Dan, who do you got in the Battle Royal?
My pick, who I think is going to win, is The Miz. And my long shot, and this is just for the sake of being different, is Fandango. Not sure why. He's getting he's lost both the women in his life. Maybe the gold will be a nice consolation prize. I don't know. But that's where I'm going.
Okay. Mm.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Gentlemen, in our main event, Fatal 4-Way, we have John Cena defending the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, and the Demon Kane.
Well,
is there even is there anyone on the internet that has not seen this leaked footage or leaked poster? I'm just curious. Like, let's feed into the internet hype for a minute.
Well, what are you talking about?
Okay, so let's feed into the internet hype for a minute. Okay, the leaked poster was SummerSlam, Lesnar versus Cena.
Mm-hmm.
The leaked, now supposedly there is a leaked promo online between Brock Lesnar and John Cena for SummerSlam. So, originally the talk was that Orton was going to win the last show pay-per-view. Cena would take it and then face Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. I have to think it does. No one gets hurt by Cena taking the title. And let me understand. Let me dissect this for 1 second. Cena is easily someone that all the internet people hate. And if you go to shows, the crowd is 50-50. Brock Lesnar, by standard, should be the most hated guy to come back. Is this setting up to be Brock Lesnar saving the WWE from having to turn or do something different with John Cena or have Cena take time off with making Cena the martyr for WWE? I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is me thinking out loud.
I think you are getting ahead of yourself. I here's my thing is like Lesnar, if he wins, then he's got to lose. You know what I mean?
He's going to lose at WrestleMania.
Against who though?
Rumor has it Roman Reigns, or I would love to see The Rock come back. I'm a big Rock fan.
So am I, but...
But it does no good because here's a guy that's going to wrestle 3 times a year. The same with Brock.
Going with your theory, Rob, I'm in on that if The Rock, with Reigns at WrestleMania, if The Rock endorses him.
Yeah, I can see that.
The night after the Royal Rumble, he wins it and, he endorses him.
I can see that happening. I'm just saying, obviously my pick is John Cena. John Cena is not losing this. They're not changing titles at this pay-per-view. There's absolutely no way. Not with SummerSlam right around the corner. There's no way.
No, and I definitely think that whatchamacallit's going to get a moment. Reigns is going to get a WrestleMania moment.
And can I also, the elephant in the room is, why is Kane in this? We were talking about this before when we took break. And, I really feel that Kane is almost the kiss of death
you have Daniel Bryan, who easily wins everyone's hearts at WrestleMania. Who doesn't root for the guy? Then you put him in a program with Kane that is going to go nowhere. I just don't like. I mean, Kane as a professional wrestler is going to sell merchandise. Kids are going to like him, but he does not need to be on that level. To me, he is more of a mid-card guy. That's what he should be.
Well, then to think about it, if Daniel Bryan didn't get hurt, I mean, Kane was probably in line for a second one-on-one for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship match at Money in the Bank. Like I can't imagine that they had the intention of having two ladder matches, one of which for the belts. Obviously, they pulled that idea out of their hat when Bryan got hurt. But otherwise, I think the main event was going to be a Kane and a stretcher match, or it was going to be
a buried alive match.
Yeah, and it's like, man, it's 2014. Why is this guy at the top of your card?
That's what I'm saying. I really believe that WWE right now currently is a victim of circumstance. You have guys that, you have Punk who dropped, so that automatically throws other guys in. Now you have Wade Barrett hurt. You have Daniel Bryan hurt, who, I don't know how long he's going to be out. You have Brock Lesnar coming back, a guy that's just a part-time wrestler. And what made me laugh about WrestleMania, people that were like, oh, so upset because Brock Lesnar's a part-time wrestler, beat The Undertaker. When's the last time The Undertaker wrestled a full schedule? So just stop.
I really hate I hate part-time wrestlers things. You know what? Like, if you're over enough that you can be a part-time wrestler, why wouldn't you be?
The deal is to sell tickets.
Save your body.
The deal is to sell tickets, man. It's a business. Like, if The Rock comes back and he works two shows the whole year, WrestleMania, this past WrestleMania, dude, was fucking huge.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Part-time wrestlers are not being on top. It was huge.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, to me, I don't know. I wish that they would start to kind of push some of these younger guys. And really, like, I would love to see Sandow get a little bit of a push. I'd love to be able to see some other guys get, a push. I'd love to see Rusev, get a title match or whatever somewhere. Not necessarily a title match, but, face Cena and get that rub and maybe not lose to Cena. Maybe beat Cena. Cena has nothing to lose. No one's going to look down on
that. I can see WrestleMania next year being Cena, Rusev.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it'd be great.
I would love to see that. There's, Brock coming back. I mean, they took Paul Heyman away from Cesaro, and I don't know if that's permanent or if that was just so that it'd be better next.
Maybe it's a foreshadow.
Right. Cesaro, I don't know if there's no. First of all, and to be honest with you, with the losing streak that Cesaro has been on, there's no way Cesaro loses the Intercontinental Battle Royal. There's just not. Plus, he won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. They're just going to put him over as like this Battle Royal champion. It's weird. And you're right. I think it was Dan that said, like, it's here we are 2014 and we're still dealing with all these Battle Royals the same way as Kane is on top of your card. Mm-hmm. I think that there can be old school mentality booking, but old school mentality booking on this level is a little odd. I don't want to see a buried alive match. That was the Undertaker, years ago, 10 years ago, if not longer than that. And I mean, Battle Royals to me, I even kind of cringe when I see them on indie shows because I'm just like, I mean, I get that if you're in a new town, it's something cool because it can establish some wrestlers. But here, these guys
are your regular kick punch one. Like if you go to prowrestlingpwf.com tonight and watch the show, then you're going to see that we just did a 15 person battle royal. But I had told the kids that were going in there, I go, man, when it's your turn to get in there, start kicking ass like a comeback. I don't want to kick punch battle royal. And by the time that the 10th person was in, place was rocking. But like, I mean, how many times do you see that?
Right. Especially on big pay-per-views here. I mean, Battleground's a smaller pay-per-view. It's probably one of their smallest because it leads into one of their biggest shows. But I don't think that anyone really – I would much rather see – I don't want to see Van Damme. I don't have any interest in seeing him. I don't want to see Del Rio. I don't want to see Kali.
Zack Ryder.
You know, I don't want to see those guys repeatedly because we know that either they're on their way out. You know, Del Rio supposedly is on his way out. Kali cannot even bend over. You know, Ziggler, they've openly said, hey, we're not going to do anything because this guy gets hurt all the time. You know, we all know, I would have to assume I would be, it would, it's, it'll shock me if Cesaro does not win. There's just a lot of stuff that I would much rather see other matches, you know, and Ziggler just had an awesome match like 2 weeks ago. You know, he's been killing it lately. Cesaro is amazing, but I know that I got a lot of shit on Twitter for, you know, kind of, you know, talking shit about RVD, but come on, man, mm-hmm. still chanting ECW, you know, and Steve, like, you know, I know that you go to shows and I'm sure that people still chant ECW when you do a certain move.
Hate it.
But it's here we are 2014. That shit was like 1999.
Yeah. Let it go, man. I don't look anything like what I did in ECW. I don't wrestle that way anymore.
No, you're so fat.
Yeah. You're an asshole.
let me ask two questions here. One, do we see an appearance by Brock Lesnar at this pay-per-view?
No.
I don't think so. I think that if you see
him on Raw.
I agree. I think that if you do that, it's a waste.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking too. I don't think, like you were saying, Battleground is kind of their, one of their smaller pay-per-views, like Payback and like, you know, some of the ones in the fall that no one really pays attention to. The other question I have is, do we see a cash-in attempt of the briefcase at this pay-per-view?
No,
I also don't think so. Let me ask you guys a question. Do you think that we're in a point now where pay-per-views have less of an impact? Is this just an extension of Monday Night Raw?
I think it's an enhancer for Monday Night Raw. You know, it's get you going for Monday Night Raw.
I have to admit, I felt like the network would be one certain thing, and I think I looked at it as dollar wise, and I was like, oh man, I can get the pay per views for $10. This is awesome, but I don't think I expected the pay per views to have less impactful. I almost feel like they've lost that mystique a little bit by being on the network. Do you guys agree with that?
No, I think it's. I like it because, you know, with the network, you're not losing anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's just more of a special now than a pay-per-view. You're only spending $9 a month for all this stuff.
Right.
Yeah. I don't see it's less special. I see the – well, maybe less special, but I see the Survivor Series, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania being more important, of course, but –
well, they can't let it go too far because then that they start to lose more money. You know, they have to have these pay-per-views have to have a value. You know, all the value lose? Is like, in their pay-per-views.
They have 700,000 homes buying this network, right?
Right.
So it's $7 million of revenue every month. And I know they want a million, but remember this networking, let's get into this real quick. Like, everybody's panicking that the WWE is like in such financial hardship, but they're not.
I agree with that. They're not.
They're not. And the restructuring of stuff and releasing people, if there was 7 million people that bought the network as opposed to 700,000, they'd still be cleaning house right now. It's what they do. They always do this.
It's also for the it's because they're now a publicly traded business. And by doing that, they have shareholders. And when they show a loss in stock, they need to recoup that. All this is a business strategy. They're not in any financial trouble. You know, McMahon is, and all he really did was lose fake money.
Yeah,
he still has value.
He didn't cash any of that in. If he would have sold it the next day, then he would have lost.
Right.
He's sitting on the stock. And we got to remember that Europe and Asia still haven't gotten the WWE network yet.
Right.
You know, once they get it, then your viewership is going to go up, and people that complain about it are just stupid, negative people that don't even realize that
what we're doing or what they're doing is for the good of the fan. For $10 you can a month, you can watch every old pay-per-view, a Clash of Champions. You
just
know,
starting its main events up there now.
Yeah, and people are still bitching. Well, I thought they were going to have Mid-South on there. What are you waiting? You have to wait for it. You know, it's one of those things that it'll come eventually.
If they put everything up there right off the bat, why would you need to keep going? Why do you need
to
keep
watching? You would get overwhelmed.
It's just supply and demand. People need to relax. Enjoy the network for what it is. Go back and watch what you want. Watch your, you know, your pre. And can I also tell you that I'm a huge fan of the pre and post shows. If you're a fan of like football or anything like that, where they have a pre and a post show, to me, if anything, it makes wrestling seem a little bit more legitimate.
Oh, I agree.
NXT worth the network alone.
Hey, Jordan just came in and she heard your voice.
Oh, yeah. Tell her I said hello.
She goes, "Is that Rob?" then she said, "What an asshole."
She did not say that.
Mm.
She's probably like, "Oh, it's your buddy. I'm so happy he's talking to you."
No, she knows I talk to Dan every Tuesday.
Right.
I see what you did there, Dick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great. Hey, what else is wrong with the WWE before we go to break?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think I just feel that they're trying to do the best that they can with what they have. I think they're afraid to take risks on some guys. And rightfully so, man. They've been burned a few times. It's tough, man. When you're talking millions of dollars worth of investment. You're not talking about, you know, well, I'm going to put this guy on my show and I hope he sells 50 tickets. You're having to put this guy, you know, in the spotlight and you have to hope that he sells millions of dollars.
Right.
You know? And sure, like, when John Cena first started, we didn't realize he was going to be what he is. You know, you never know when he was, you know, on SmackDown, no one knew what he was going to be. Ruthless aggression. And now all of a sudden he is who he is. But that took years and years to develop. There are guys that are developing, but it seems like they need to let go of a couple guys. If you let go of Kane, no one's really going to mind. If you had him pop up for special, he's a special attraction. He's just like the Big Show.
Right, I agree. I don't think you need to let him go, but I think you give him – you say, hey, man, you've done 17 years in that gimmick, and you've done a great job. You're a first ballot Hall of Famer. Let's put you on a part-time deal. Like, this guy's been working full-time for 17 years.
Right.
And that's why I thought, like, when he went corporate and he was wearing the suit, and it was kind of – even though it's an old character, it's like – this is kind of refreshing that Kane is actually able to do something a little bit different. And then, you know, he's out of that red suit. He doesn't wear the mask. He's, you know, not Mr. Clean. He's, you know, kind of the muscle for the Authority. And, you know, and at times he was kind of making matches and that sort of thing. That was kind of refreshing. Now it's, you know, let's go to the well. He's the Demon Kane now. Let's put a new bow on this and see where it goes. And yeah.
And let me say this. I also believe that, and I don't know how true it is. Maybe it's just me, but this is the way I think. Does anyone else think that when Triple H and Stephanie aren't on, the Raw is not as good because it's not booked as well? So then they can look back and say, we are needed on these shows?
No, I think you might be thinking too much.
I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. I just felt like the Raw like 2 weeks ago was just amazing. And, man, the week after that, I just felt like, why am I watching this? Like, and I love wrestling, and I'm not negative at all, but it's just that I want to see more. You know, like, you can see that they have potential to put on some amazing shows, and I know not all are going to be amazing. It's hit or miss, but I feel that they have such a young, strong roster that wants to work. Let them loose, man. Let them loose.
It's entertaining. It's entertaining. I like what the WWE is doing. I mean, of course, we can always find faults and stuff like that. But I really do enjoy the whole thing. I think 3 hours is a lot.
Yes.
It's a little too much for me to stay, but it's not, you know, the ratings are telling me that people do enjoy it. Yes.
They did eat the dog food.
Accidentally.
And I love Bo Dallas. People are always asking me my opinion about who I really like. Big Bo Dallas fan. Huge.
Me too. Even though he looks like Mark Youngblood.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure does. That's a good call on that one.
Definitely.
And the people that were sitting there and they would say like, oh, when he runs, his stomach shakes and stuff like that. You're the reason why Vince McMahon hires these big muscle bound guys that can't work. Cause when he does hire someone that's not bad and has a little pizzazz, you complain because he's flabby.
Oh yeah. I mean,
that's why I'm never going to work there.
That's the thing that always, you know, they'll complain about something, but if he looked like Batista, he'd be all, you know, oh, he's all gassed up and stuff. People just never happy. You can't take a thing.
And hey, anyone and anybody that shits on Batista on the way he went out, think again.
Yeah, you know what? He made me feel bad. He made me feel bad with the whatchamacallit.
He put someone over.
And the DVD. Yeah, I felt bad.
And hey, Paul Heyman DVD coming out like in August. I can't wait, actually. I'm really excited for that one.
Yeah, thanks for the plug. Hey, when we come back, we're going to do a little Twitter love and some Q&A. You're listening to the Steve Carino Show featuring the Extreme Odd Couple Podcast.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the big four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers, and a fully stocked bar. Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
And now, time for some Twitter Q&A.
And a little bit of love.
With the king of old school, and Dan, too, on the Steve Carino Show.
Hey,
Hey, we're back on the Steve Cram Show for our final segment. It's Twitter love and Q&A time. Hey, do we have music this week?
I think we might have music this week.
All right, we're going to have to pause. Rob, we're going to have to pause because they got to do something with the music.
Can't say anything. In 3, 2, 1.
These eyes cry every night for you.
I don't hear any music.
Oh, you don't hear that? That's a good joint. Joint. That's a good tune right there.
No, I think you're allowed to say joint. Just don't say peace out or any of that bullshit.
I don't know what I was going for there. But this is, you know, it's this song. This song just does it to me. I just, you know, I get tongue-tied when I hear this tune.
All right, this one. We only have one question this week.
Yeah.
What the fuck's wrong with you people? Get your questions at Steve Carino Show. Even you on a report, you can send your questions at Steve Carino Show or by emailing stevecarinoshow@gmail.com or stevecarinoshow@placetobenation.com. Get off your asses. All right, Jay Feeney the third. And Rob, I can't wait to hear your comments on this. At Steve Carino Show, have you heard of Shane Douglas's claim about a billionaire backing a new Fed, quote, the CWF that Shane is booking?
You want to know my opinion?
Yeah, I sure do.
Oh, complete bullshit. Complete bullshit. There's no way. I mean, it's silly. Stop it. Whoever says that. J.F. Feeney the third, you're a fucking idiot. Stop.
No, it's not him. That's what he heard.
Oh, that's what he heard?
He's not going to listen to your podcast now that you just insulted him.
I don't care.
This is why we have one question this week. It's because of stuff like that.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I'm just like, it's ridiculous. Of course he doesn't have a billionaire backing a new Fed. Of course not. If he did, everyone would know because Steve would be emailing him for bookings.
No, he already emailed me for bookings, but if I see through it, think about who else will. I will tell you, and you know what? I shouldn't say this, but this guy pissed me off today. While we're talking about all that stuff, right? So this is what I wake up to this morning, okay, is some turd, and this is a true story, and I'm going to give you his name because this guy doesn't get it at all, okay?
I have a laundry list of those fucking people.
Well, this dipshit. Like, I literally had to ask somebody if he was shoot retarded because I didn't want to email him back and say, hey, man, you know. So, fans, you know, and you're going to be upset when I say this, but when you hear the response that was given to me by somebody else, you're going to shit your pants. So, this morning I wake up to a message from Jacob Daniel Medam, M-E-I-D-A-M. It says, hello, my name is Jacob Medam. I received a phone call from a Mr. Marty Rosenberg, and he was wondering if I wanted to be on the Ring of Honor show in Milwaukee on August 22nd. No period. I was wondering if you, with a U, still got room for me. I would love to be, no B-E, a part of the show. Please let me know. Call, text 262-305-7072. Oh, yeah, because you'll see why. My wife just goes, did you just put his number out there? Best time to call is after 7 p.m. Thank you sincerely, Jacob Medam. I write back at 804. What are you talking about? So this kid writes back, goes, some road agent of Ring of Honor called me. His name is Marty, and he wanted to know if I wanted to be on the August 22nd show on ROH. Then 5 minutes later goes, is there any room for me, dude? I waited. I calmed down, and I wrote, okay, man. I gave this a little bit before writing you back because I wanted to think what would make someone message me about being used for ROH. And I looked at your profile, and it says that you went to college. So here's some hard truth, kid. One, why would you come to me? Anyone with the internet would know that I'm not the booker of ROH. Anyone with the internet would know that I'm not involved at all with anything to do with the office. Two, anyone with the internet would know that there is not a road agent named Marty Rosenberg. Have you ever heard or read that name anywhere associated with Ring of Honor? Three, and if you do think that there is a road agent that would just cold call you, then you have no idea about the ROH product. Four, have you ever gone to an ROH tryout camp? If you have, you would know that they only hire within unless you have a TV name. If you hadn't been to an ROH tryout, then why do you think that they would be interested in you? Don't you think that they would want someone that has a little bit of buzz behind them? Maybe the Beer City Bruisers, Joey Avalon, or Dysfunction? If I've never heard of you, how do you think someone in ROH would ever hear about you? And five, and lastly, even if I was the booker, I would never think of using you because you can't put a simple sentence together. B instead of B, that shows laziness. And if you're lazy in your email to a major television company, then I would assume that you're lazy in your work too. You obviously have been ribbed by one of the local boys. Maybe the next time if Vince McMahon calls you and tells you to Facebook John Cena, you do a little research and for fuck's sake, be professional in your message. Okay, so obviously he's being ribbed by the Milwaukee boys, right? So, I know who's doing it. It's this kid JP, and he's a nice kid and everything like this. So JP writes this guy and says, hey, dude, Marty just contacted me. He said you messaged Carino. Who told you to do that? This kid writes, I did it on my own. Can you have Marty call me back? Tell him to call me after 7 o'clock. And so JP writes this kid back and says, Marty is pissed because you contacted Carino. You may have blown your shot. He goes, oh. And he goes, Carino's on-air talent. He's got nothing to do with the booking. He goes, why would you contact him? He goes, oh, I thought maybe he could pass the message to Marty. Now, I just told this moron that there is no Marty. And he keeps his thing going, like, that there's a Marty. There's no fucking Marty. Yes.
Why would the JP douchebag even do that in the first place?
Well, JP is a douchebag. But from what I hear is this kid runs shows and stiffs the boys all the time. So this was their way back, and no one told him to contact me. This kid just did it on his own.
Hey, Steve?
Yes.
August 9th, Marty wanted me to contact you. Do you have room for me?
August 9th? PWF shows August 22nd. And yes.
No, ROH is in Philly. Marty told me to get a hold of you.
Yeah, so Marty Rosenberg apparently is booking ROH right now.
Sounds legit to me.
You know, and what pissed me off was, like, man, I hammered this JP kid today, too. Like, hey, man, don't fucking give my name out there as something like that. And, you know, don't be a dipshit with your stupid ribs and everything like that, right? And he's like, I didn't tell him to call. I swear to God, I didn't tell him to call. I didn't tell him to call. Yeah. And apparently he didn't.
This kid was probably a fan, Steve. You're just a real dick.
No, he runs shows. He runs shows as just Jake Wrestling.
Well, you know, you could probably just give him a call right now and just apologize.
It is after 7.
Yeah.
I think everybody that listens to the podcast, give this guy a call and book him on your show. Just be Marty Rosenberg. Ignorant. It's ignorant. Ignorant. Ignorant.
Well, I hate dealing with that nonsense. Hate it.
Ignorant. Ignorant.
Well, now that we've embraced the hate, you want to do some Twitter love? Well, see what I did there?
I love it. Go ahead.
Smart man.
All right. Newcomer to our show, at Real Scotty Riggs. That ring a bell. He goes, I wish I could do the voice. I can't do the voice. I'm just going to read it. Damn, it was great being on at Steve Carino's show, catching up in old times with at King Carino, his producer, and I didn't write this. This is actually what he wrote. His producer, at DMcG4881, is a cool dude. Hashtag old school.
Hey, Scotty Riggs was a good interview last week, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I mean, he could have went on for an hour or two. Oh, Rob, are you a Scotty Riggs fan?
Sure.
Nah, I don't know. He seems cool.
All right, this one's from 2001 Space Possum. King Carino, at King Carino, at Steve Carino Show. He gave Hurricane Arthur a super kick even Jim Ross would love. The best wrestling podcast returns this week. No, I ran from Hurricane Arthur. I went to my brother-in-law's begrudgingly, as we talked about last week, but it worked out good. My wife is better safe than sorry. She made the right call. I'm not talking shit. I just said you did the right call. Did anybody hear her yell that?
That's not what you told me. You were
not. Did you just hear her yell that, though?
I did.
She just yelled, don't.
Did you just say I made the right call?
I did, so you need to apologize.
I love how you've never said that to me, but you say it on air so everybody can say
it. Jordan, he's lying. He didn't tell me that.
I'm lying? Shut up, Rob. No, I was.
So they all think you're this nice, loving husband supporting of all my decisions. But in real life, you told me it was the dumbest idea.
I talked about it last week on the show, how I was against the idea, but it worked out for the I was tired. We just driven home 19 hours.
I told you you could stay here.
No, you did not.
I did, too.
I said I would stay.
And I said, go ahead.
That's not true. You're like, we're going as a family. And then you said something like, what if I died in this hurricane?
What if you died, Steve?
Yeah.
She'd be okay.
I guess she's young.
She's young. She'll recover.
I guess I would host the show then.
Dan, just let me know.
Okay.
Yeah. Rob Dimension's podcast is going to move to the Place to Be Nation. Yeah.
Speaking of the Place to Be Nation, we got some love from another, a new talent to the Place to Be Nation podcast family. This is from at Jax Crow. I'm listening to at Steve Carino show number 11 and getting ready to record the at All the Pods number 1 with Johnny Sorrow. At Jax Crow is Jackson Crowley. He is the host or co-host along with Johnny Sorrow in the brand new All the Pods podcast here on Place to Be Nation. It's all like pop culture. And they delve into a little bit of wrestling, too. And I think, Steve, you would like Johnny Sorrow because I alluded to a recap show at Money in the Bank and how everybody on the panel was really, like, dogging the show and really pissing on what happened. And Johnny Sorrow is one of these guys that just loves everything. I mean, he's very much like us in that regard, in that, you know, Cena's great and everything that happened at the pay-per-view was really good. And, he just really enjoyed it. He's a fan, not just somebody who wants to complain. So that's a show that just started. I think they, like I said, recorded, over the weekend. So, and now he listens to our show, which is also good.
See that, Rob? We are very, very positive.
That's great. But when I'm positive, you tell me I'm going to be the next Hitler or some shit.
You are, because you try to lead your people.
What people are you talking about? I'm just like, hey man, live your life, you know, have a good day.
Bullshit. You're hey man, you know, with your positive things. Positively bullshit.
I usually hashtag peace out.
Yeah. Hey, are you hyped for your thing with your match against Steen this week?
That's what I said. Dude, you are such a dick. I was like, hey man, are you excited to work to, you know, for your match against
Steam? No, you did not say excited. You said hyped.
Okay, so hyped. What's the problem with hyped? And you were like, what are you, 12 years old? You're such an asshole, man. I swear to God.
You're the asshole.
Again, I try to be positive and you turned around just to give me a stinger. And it stuck with me for a lot of today. Today I watched what I said. I never said hyped once again.
You shouldn't say hyped.
Very rude. Very rude.
Do you yell deuces?
When would I yell fucking who says deuces?
Well, why would you say hyped then?
Because people say, look, I'm hyped. Mojo Rising's hyped all the time.
Oh my God. God, I hate your face.
Dude, what? I'm just a product of WWE. I'm just living it. Just living the life, man. Peace out. Hyped.
Oh.
Anyway, back to Twitter love and not Rob Dimension hate.
All right. My PWA account. There's three tweets apparently from this dude.
I love the at Steve Carino show because he's so positive and doesn't just complain about modern.
Not via text.
What timing?
A miserable fucking texting troll that bothers me every day with mean and cruel things. It's a terrible friend.
Yeah, you made me feel like a real asshole. Hey, man, like, I think I sent you a, what are they called? A Mijo or something like that? Or Miji?
Emoji.
Emoji of a shit and a cake. And I go, what are you doing? I'm going to a funeral. Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, suck on that.
That make me feel like an asshole.
Makes you made your shit cake, now eat it.
Back to the positivity. He adds to my enjoyment of wrestling and not take away from it. This guy must not live in England, which is what so many other podcasts, probably Rob Dimensions, that I used to listen to. So if you haven't started listening, then start listening now.
I will Steve have you know that I am one positive motherfucker.
Yeah, HIV positive.
Wow. Listen, do these people really listen to how bad of a person you are?
Yeah, love me. I have not said one negative thing until you joined me this week.
You are terrible. And then, look, here's the thing. I don't listen to your podcast because I don't have time.
I know you don't.
So I get the format. He's like, hey, man, I got the format. And at the bottom, it says dissing Rob Dimension, hashtag what a turd.
What a lead-in.
Who fucking does that? What is wrong with you?
See, it's like a weekly thing.
Oh, people,
so
please.
Every week I read like a couple texts that we battle on. This one I'll read is, new thing I, and this is from me, new thing I hate besides you. An indie guy gets hurt and always has to post, and they say it's fake. So I guess every stuntman that gets hurt on the set of Godzilla has to poke that Godzilla isn't fake. Turds, hey, and fuck you too. And then he writes back this, and then it was really, really rude. First, the fuck you was a little rude. I'm on vacation. Secondly, if knew how to work and stop being fucking idiots, they'd be okay. But people are fucking dumb. That includes you too. And then you hurt my feelings by sending me a little drawing of Olaf and says, I was going to give this to you. Now I'm giving it to my dog. Like, how rude can you be? Yeah.
You're
followed
terrible.
By, you hyped to work Steam this weekend?
What is wrong with that?
Oh.
Dan, do you never say hype, Dan? Never?
No. No, he's an adult.
Folks, stop it.
I don't say hyped, but every now and again I let the word geeked pop out, you know?
What?
Like, I'm geeked for this new episode of the Steve Carino Show.
Like, I could have said, Steve, are you geeked out to work Kevin Steen this weekend? Can you imagine? I would have been told, like, please find the nearest bridge and jump, please. That's what he would have texted me back.
Steve, in fairness, like, prior, like, a few hours ago when we were chatting, I was like, you're working Greg the Hammer Valentine?
Yeah, he did. He marked out for wrestling the hammer.
Yeah.
He's obviously never met him.
Anyway. Yeah, it's the hammer's cool. I like
he that. Is cool. He's cool.
Hates you.
He probably does. Yeah. I would love to say that it was a great time tonight, but you are just such a bad person.
Shut up. What do you got going on? What's hype?
Well, I'm really hyped about. I have two movies coming out: Rabbit Hole and. Boob Tube. This should be out in October, hopefully the first week. We are still editing. I've got my podcast, Rob Dimension Shock and Wrestling Podcast. The funny thing is that this past week, there was no shock, no wrestling. So we just talked about whatever we wanted to talk about. And, you know, I talked about going to the 4th of July fireworks on a how I'm not really a fireworks guy. Steve, are you a fireworks guy?
I like them.
We're one step above a cat. You know how you take the laser pointer and you point it on the ground and the cat's like, oh, look, you know, look at this fucking thing. That's what we do, except everyone's looking up in the sky. Okay. Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at Rob Dimension. I would say you can look me up on Facebook, but I'm not going to add you unless I don't know you. I really don't give a shit. So
thank God, you're there. A bunch of assholes on your Facebook.
Oh, dude. You know what? And you're the worst. We could go on for days about how you're like, that's it. Cutting everyone off my Facebook that I don't fucking know. And then sure
enough, I got t-shirts to sell and tickets to sell to my shows.
But when I say that, you're like, oh, you're going to sell out for that shit?
Yeah, because you placate to these people.
It's double. You're such a double standard. You're such a double standard one upper. You're so. You just make me pissed off.
Where can I find you on Twitter?
At Rob Dimension. At Mumbles the Clown too. I've been using that a lot lately.
I saw.
No, fuck you, Steve. I don't want to follow from you, so I don't care.
I think I reported for spam.
That's the best line. Can I tell you that?
Is it right?
Reported for spam. I'm a big fan of that.
Tonight I will be in Cincinnati for Ring of Honor, just commentating with Joe Dombrowski because Kevin Kelly doesn't work Fridays anymore. And then Saturday in Dearborn, Michigan, it's Kevin Steen's last match and probably mine too. It's Kevin's last stand in Dearborn, Michigan, as I will be wearing no knee pads, not doing the job. So make sure you go to ROHWrestling.com. You follow me on Twitter at King Carino. My website, worldofcarino.com, like a plug at the beginning of the show, every fucking show. Also, the PWF at PWF Legacy. The website there is www.prowrestlingpwf.com. What else? That's it. Dan?
Well, my Twitter, and there's still plenty of room for you to join my revolution. It's at dmcg4881. Lots of great pictures, including, I believe I have a picture of the Guinness ice cream experience, which we talked about today. What I'm doing this weekend. I'm hanging out with this guy, Justin, and his family and a bunch of friends and such, and there's going to be some drinking and everything else that goes on with parties. That's Saturday night. Sunday, I'm actually going to be attending a Chikara show. That's it's called The World Is Not Enough. It's out of Revere, Massachusetts. My first time going to a Chikara show. We've talked about it. I've seen a few on tape or on DVD, and so I'll be there live from the Wonderland Ballroom. So and maybe I'll wear the King of Old School shirt.
In Revere.
Yeah.
And Place to Be Nation, I didn't do anything with it, but they just posted the World Cup of TV characters group Y and Z. They start from A, like kind of like World Cup style, their groupings. And you pick your top four, and then those four go on to a tournament. They're picking the all-time greatest television characters. That's going down on Place to Be Nation, and I brought back my Superstars recap. That was kind of what got me started with the website. So that I did reviewed for fun last week's Superstars, and then filling in for Scott Criscolo, I did the full 3-hour Raw recap last night. So that was my first experience doing the Raw show. So you could check that out as well. So a little bit of my writing skills, if you will.
Jesus
on display.
Christ, Dan, is there anything you're not doing?
You know?
He's busy.
Busy. But placetobenation.com, again, blah, 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 Amazon link. Check that out as well.
Man. I don't know what else to say. I'm like...
doing a lot.
All right.
Steve, I'm surprised you didn't tweet about fucking soccer.
Why? I don't watch soccer, you dipshit. You've known me for 15 years. Do I ever watch soccer?
You probably would. You look like the type.
Okay, I did watch a little bit with my brother-in-law on vacation.
I'm on vacation this week, actually.
You're on vacation every fucking week.
It's terrible. Yeah,
your whole life is vacation. I'm going to leave you with this. Did you know that J.J. Abrams originally wanted Michael Keaton for the role of Jack in Lost?
I did hear that.
Okay,
I'm a big J.J. Abrams fan, man.
Sure you are.
J.J. Abrams doing the new fucking Star Wars. How am I not on top of that?
Oh, my God. You and Star Wars.
Brought it up.
Brought
it up. Kevin Smith visited the set and cried.
My goodness. Yeah, he cried because catering was taken away from him.
That was messed up. No reason for that. He's a fellow filmmaker. Have some respect.
I hope his heart explodes with your buddy, Big Sal.
You are a terrible person.
Yeah.
Terrible.
All right. For Dan McGinn and Rob Dimension, I'm Steve Carino, and you'll hear us next week. Well, not Rob.
Hopefully you'll hear us.
Yeah, hopefully if we're not canceled. All right, you'll hear us on The Steve Carino Show.
Peace out.
Thank you for listening to The Steve Carino Show. Download the new episode every Friday. at placetobenation.com.
The reason why, man, I don't know, so let's go, cause